And I know you know the story of Viktor Frankl, right? The man who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. Here's a man who's in a Nazi concentration camp with pain everywhere around him, knowing at any moment he could be gassed or maybe spared. And if he was spared, he'd have the unique privilege of going out and taking the dead bodies out of those gas chambers, putting them in the big ovens. Talk about intense. And yet somehow in the midst of that pain, he found a deeper meaning. The meaning was that even though he was in pain in the moment, that somehow, someday, he would survive this and he would come to share the story so that this would never happen to other people in the future. He couldn't find a meaning in the moment. He found a meaning in the future. And for most of us, the meaning that we want for our lives is here today, and it's preparing us for an even greater meaning in the future if we'll just use all of our life's experience, the pain and the pleasure, to become more, to prepare ourselves for whatever it is that our Creator has brought us here for. To prepare ourselves so that at the moment of truth when we are needed, we will deliver. And my real belief is we're going to be delivering all along the way. It isn't something that someday you're going to do. It's something you every day are doing. You know, my former spouse, Becky, just recently lost her father. And it's been a tough time for her because in a very short period of time, she lost both her mom and her dad. And that's an event you cannot control. And God knows we tried. When they told us that her father had cancer, they told us that he would die within a period of anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And fortunately, he never found out that diagnosis. And what we did is we kept making sure he had a compelling future. He had a sense of meaning, a variety of things that he was needed for. And it was amazing how he physically responded. We had a trip scheduled for him to go to Fiji on, which he went on and talked to him about how we needed his help with our resort there and helping some of the Fijians in the garden, because the garden for him created so much meaning in his life. It's about supporting, about nurturing, about helping life along a little bit. And so that he was excited about, and things we wanted him to do with his grandkids. And so we kept giving him compelling futures. And sure enough, 3 months went by. He was healthy. 6 months went by. He was healthy. A year went by. And through a variety of interventions, pretty soon he seemed to be better until we started getting phone calls from his neighbors. He lived up in a place called Rand, Colorado, a little town with 14 people in it that he's been a major part of for years and years. And they started calling us to tell us that they didn't think he could take care of himself anymore. So we flew out and brought him back here. The first few days, he was in phenomenal shape. It was like he was completely restored, being around the grandkids and being in the environment. He was all excited to share about things that happened in his little town of Rand that he helped to create there, about all about the calves that he helped to deliver and about the planting season and how they're helping people through the winter and some of the stories they've been telling. And he was just totally alive. And then we took him to the doctors for a series of tests. They said they wanted to keep him overnight. The next day we called and I spoke to his main doctor and he said, it looks like he just has a form of meningitis. So he said, that'll be really easily treatable and he should be okay. And he said, don't worry. He said, we're just going to do a series more tests because he's a bit dehydrated. He lives at an altitude of about 11,500 feet and he's not drinking enough water. And he said, so, you know, we're going to run a couple more tests. He said, next day. He said, but I think he'll be fine. He said, I have to go out of town. He said, my partner doctor will be working with him. So he said, I've passed on all the information. You can check in with him tomorrow. Well, the next day, they'd done additional tests, and they'd found out that the cancer had spread throughout his spine and into his brain. And while it wasn't treatable before, but certainly not treatable now, and that they thought he would die within weeks. The worst part was, though, that they also told this to him before they told it to Becky. So he had no one there to support him through the process or to give him other options. When I found this out, I became so angry with the doctors because I focused on how he had violated what we asked them to do and how the other doctor should have told his partner doctor not to tell him yet, to allow us to talk to him, to prepare him for the situation, that it was so harsh, it was so unfair, and the meaning of it was that it was going to really harm him, that all of a sudden he would give up hope. And what I wanted to do was lash out, and fortunately I didn't lash out. Instead, I started to focus on what's happening to Cecil, what can I do? So went to go see him and talk to him, and it was unbelievable. He looked like he just aged 10 years in a day. Because what had happened is he had no future. There was no purpose in fighting the pain or trying to make things happen or, you know, trying to tell stories or do anything, because after all, you're going to die anyway soon. And that was kind of the way he was interpreting it. And sure enough, no matter what we said, he just didn't seem to respond. He just seemed to go into a total stupor. And for the next day and a half or so, he just sat in a corner. He really didn't say very much or communicate very much. He just said not to bother with him, that he was fine. But he didn't open up emotionally. And I just sat down with him, and I cried, and I told him how much I loved him and how much Becky loved him and how he needed to share with us what he was really feeling, because, you know, holding that back wasn't protecting us from pain. We just felt separate from him. And I really wanted him to realize that he could choose how what this was going to mean for his life. The doctors had told us 3 years ago that he was going to die within a matter of months then. And here he was 3 years later. I said, what if you would have just sat around for 3 years in this little corner doing nothing because you thought you were going to die any day or any week? I said, that'd be pretty crazy, huh? And he started to laugh. And I said, look at this. I said, you can't just sit off in this corner. Hey, you might die tomorrow. You might die in 6 weeks. You might die in 6 months. You might die in 6 years. You might die in 10 or 20 years and really screw these people's brains up. I said, it doesn't matter how long you're going to live. What's going to matter is how are you going to live while you're here? And I said, you've lived an incredible life. In World War II, you were a pilot, you know, you were a businessman. Now you're this guy who's touching this little town up in Colorado where everybody knows you and cares about you and loves you because you love them. I said, you've raised these incredible kids. I said, you know, if you're going to go out in style, go out because you decided to go out in an energy that you want to, where you really enjoy your life. Don't just shut down because somebody told you your life's over because you buy into it. Don't do it.